श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः।
भगवद्गीता यः
भगवद्गीता
पश्यति स
यः पश्यति स
पश्यति
पश्यति
यः पश्यति स पश्यति यः पश्यति स पश्यति।
हेलो लिसनर्स, दिस इज रविरंगनाथन वेलकमिंग यू टू द 70th एपिसोड ऑफ भगवद्गीता यः पश्यति स पश्यति। लास्ट एपिसोड एंडेड विद अ क्वेश्चन टू भगवान, व्हाट डस द वाइज पर्सन डू आफ्टर नोइंग द नेचर ऑफ द सुप्रीम पुरुष। भगवान्स रेस्पॉन्स, स सर्वविद भजति माम सर्वभावेन, दट पर्सन ऑल नोयिंग वर्शिप्स मी विद देर होल बीइंग। दट वाइज पर्सन यूसेस ऑल द फाइव सेंसेस अंड द माइंड अंड द इंटेलेक्ट टू वर्शिप भगवान। इन द ओपनिंग वर्ड्स ऑफ दिस चैप्टर देर वॉज वेद विथ, वन हू नोज वॉट वेदास टॉक अबाउट। हियर इट इज सर्ववित, ऑल नोइंग। दट वाइज पर्सन इज सर्ववित, ऑल नोइंग बाय जानाति माम, knowing Bhagavan in his essence. That wise person sees everywhere and in everything only Brahman. That person is worshipping Vishwarupam, everything in the universe as Bhagavan. Some commentators explain that after getting the Advaita Jnanam, Dvaita Bhakti increases in all our transactions. For anyone who knows Bhagavan clearly has nothing else to know. That is Phala Stuti, the benefit of knowing him, the benefit of knowing the secret signs taught by him. All knowing does not mean the person knows every transactional skill of the world. It does not mean the person knows carpentry, metallurgy, high-tech design, economy, politics, cooking, cyber crimes, surgery, and everything else. The details of these will keep changing. The person knows the source of all these activities, why they are changing and what is not changing, knows their transientness. That wise person knows the relative values of all the objects of the world in comparison to the absolute and eternal inner self, Paramatma. Both the subjective and objective aspects of the absolute have to be comprehended. That is, seeing the Purushottama as the self within us and seeing the same Supreme Purushottama's manifestation outside us. Such a person who has comprehended all aspects of the Supreme Being is really the person of perfection about whom Bhagavan has been talking all along in various chapters. That person is Asammodaha, the undeluded one. In chapter 2, Arjuna asked, how can I in battle fight with arrows against Bhishma and Drona who are fit to be worshipped? Bhagavan's answer is, yes, agreed that Bhishma and Drona are better persons. But if you want to worship, then it should be Purushottama, the best person, and not Bhishma or Drona. Arjuna, when you identify Bhishma and Drona with their bodies, then they are perishable Purusha. When you identify them as liberated beings, then they are the unperishable Purusha. When you see them as the same eternal imperishable Paramatma, then they are Uttama Purusha. Idi Guhyatamam Shastram Idamuktam Mayanagam Edad Budva Buddhimanstyatam Kritakrittascha Bharatam. இவ்வாறு பரம ரகசிய சாஸ்திரம் சொல்லப்பட்டது என்னால் பாபமற்றவனே. இதை அறிந்து ஆகிறான் புத்திமானாகவும் கடமை முடித்தவனாகவும் பாரத. ஓ அர்ஜுனா, யூ ஆர் ரிவெலிங் இன் திஸ் நாலெட்ஜ். தி மோஸ்ட் சீக்ரெட் ஸ்கிரிப்சரல் சயின்ஸ் ஹஸ் பீன் டாட் பை மீ. ஓ சின்லெஸ் ஒன், நோயிங் திஸ் எ பர்சன் பிகம்ஸ் வாய்ஸ் அண்ட் ஆல் தேர் டியூட்டிஸ் ஆர் அக்காம்ப்ளிஷ்ட். One of the major issues Arjuna had was sin. Arjuna's worry was that by destroying family units, by killing his gurus, he would incur sin. Once again addressing Arjuna as O sinless one, Bhagavan is trying to reassure him that if Arjuna follows his teachings, then he will not incur any sin. Earlier in chapters 3 and 14 also, Bhagavan addressed Arjuna as sinless one. Guhya Tamam, most secret. In chapter 9, Bhagavan said that he will teach Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam, the royal knowledge, royal secret. Here he says that what has been taught by him is the most secret stuff, and it is the Shastras. That is, what has been taught from the beginning of 9th chapter to this verse is the teachings of Shastras, and it is the most secret science. What was taught from chapter 2 to 6 are also in the Shastras. They are about self-realization, and many rishis have attained that pure state. Buddha is a classic example. Ramana Maharishi in recent times. At least through them, we can get an idea about our innermost self. What was taught from chapter 9 till now is about Brahman, God. And God is beyond our understanding capacity and remains a secret. Guhyam is also protection. What has been taught has to be protected well. Do that by learning this knowledge, digesting it and living that life and passing it to the next generation. Krita Krityascha, accomplished in all their tasks that need to be done. For this wise person, there is no duty that is left to be done. The wise have completed all the tasks that they need to complete. Earlier episodes have explained that all our actions, our duties should be aimed towards self-realization. The wise person who has attained that state has no action, no duty left to be done. That is Naishkarmyam state, the actionless state. That is the state of enlightenment. A clear understanding about the one absolute reality makes all Vedic ritual duties obsolete, because the purpose of all the rituals was to understand the higher reality. All duties have been accomplished by such a person because there is complete satisfaction. There is no desire for wanting. While talking about Siddha Prajna, a person of steady wisdom, Bhagavan in chapter 2 said that to a Brahmana who has known the self, all the Vedas are of as much use as a reservoir of water in a place where there is a bigger reservoir of water. It indicates there is no more duty for such a person. All duties specific to Arjuna are over. In chapter 11, Bhagavan said that as Kala, as time, he has already killed Bhishma, Drona and others, and Arjuna need to be only an instrument. In addition to that, by telling Arjuna that you are Anaga, a sinless one, and all duties have been accomplished, Bhagavan is indicating that Arjuna's duty in the battlefield has already been accomplished by Bhagavan, and no sin will fall on Arjuna, because it is Arjuna's spiritual guru who is guiding Arjuna how to wage the war without incurring sin. All duties specific to Bhagavan are over. In chapter 11, with Arjuna saying that his delusion is gone, Bhagavan's duty of explaining all the facts to Arjuna and clear all his concerns and doubts have been accomplished. Hence, all duties have been accomplished by Bhagavan. The story started with Arjuna refusing to perform his duties. And here, all duties have been accomplished indicates that as far as Bhagavan is concerned, Bhagavad Gita teaching is over. With that observation, the chapter comes to an end. Next is chapter appreciation. First, a long appreciation about consciousness. In chapter 13, Bhagavan said that the world is nothing but two entities, Purusha, the eternal life element, and Prakriti, the perishable material nature coming together. Bhagavan in this chapter disturbed that understanding of ours by saying that there are two Purushas and beyond them there is another entity called Purushottama. The two Purushas were explained as unliberated and liberated Jivatmas. But the Purushottama, the best Purusha, is more subtle. Who is this best Purusha? Our life is nothing but a series of experiences, small or big, relevant or irrelevant. Any experience involves a subject and an object. I am the subject and everything else is an object. I, the subject, is experiencing an object. What does it mean to say I am the subject? The one who is aware of a thing is the subject. I am aware of my experiences and hence I am the subject. Anything and everything else is an object. As in Sankhya Darshan, chapter 13 dealt with Purusha and Prakriti and stopped there. Sankhya states that all our problems are because of our projection of Prakriti as Purusha. We take what is done by Prakriti as done by Purusha by strongly identifying with our body and mind. If we disassociate ourselves, the Purusha, the consciousness, which is nothing but awareness from Prakriti, the matter, then there is no sorrow in our life, is the strong statement by Sankhya. Body has pain. We associate that pain to ourselves and psychologically suffer. We equate sickness, lack of wealth, lack of fame, lack of honor, lack of good relationship, all to suffering. It is said that only 20% is physical pain and the rest 80% is psychological pain. Upanishads and Sankhya Darshan says that this misidentification is a huge mistake. It is avidya. It is ignorance to take body and mind as I, the subject. Okay, so far so good. But the story does not end there. Sankhya says that there are multiple Purushas, one for each individual. That is, my consciousness is separate from your consciousness and is different from another person's consciousness, etc. Also, in Sankhya, Purusha and Prakriti are eternal and independent, yet both depend on each other. That is, consciousness depends on the material nature for experience and the material nature needs a consciousness to be experienced. In fact, Sankhya says that among these two, Prakriti is the real hero. It says, Prakriti gives experience as well as freedom from samsara to Purusha. The last one is very interesting. We need to go into Sankhya Darshan to understand that. To finish this episode under time, let me leave that aside and continue. In contrast to Sankhya, Upanishads say that my consciousness is not different from your consciousness and is not different from someone else's consciousness. They are all one and the same. On top of that, the Upanishads go one step further and say the objects you experience are also not different from consciousness. That is, Purusha and Prakriti are not two different realities. They both are one and the same. Bhagavad Gita points to that highest reality as the Purushottama. In chapter 9, Bhagavan said that he is Pitahamasya Jagataho Mata Data Pitamagaha. I am the father of this world, the mother, the supporter and the grandsire. Father is Purusha, mother is Prakriti and grandfather is Purushottama. Let us understand the Purushottama, the pure consciousness, a little bit better. What is this relationship between the world and Brahman, the Purushottama, is explained by Upanishads with a beautiful example, our own dreams. Think about a dream you had. Have you thought of that dream in the following way? 3 points to understand about a dream are, first, entire dreams arise in you, sustained in you and dissolves in you. That is, you are the creator, sustainer and destroyer. Second, nothing that goes on in the dream is real in the waking state. Just because you loaned $1,000,000 to a friend in the dream, after waking up, in your waking state, you cannot go and demand that money from your friend. It is not legally admissible. Dream is unreal and lower level compared to the real waking state. Transactions in the dream world are not accepted in the waking world. The higher state is not affected by the lower state, and it is the higher state observer who is the cause of the lower state observer. Third, what is common to the dreamer and the waker is you yourself, a witness of both. That is, nothing exists without you witnessing it, whether it is in the dream world or in the waking world. In fact, the objects in the dream exist because you witness it. Your seeing brings life to your dream. Extend this to pure consciousness. All the transactions of the waking world are not accepted in pure consciousness. The waking world is a dream world to pure consciousness as the dream world is to the waking world. What is valid at the waking world level is not valid at the higher pure consciousness level. From a pure consciousness point of view, everything in the waking world is just a dream. The dream is at the individual level. Now, the same is true of the relation between Brahman and the universe. Brahman is in his sleep and the entire universe is his dream. This is represented by Anantasayana Mahavishnu, who is in his Nidra state, or Lord Shiva always in meditation state. In our dreams, we are the subject as well as the object along with other people in the dream. The dreaming mind itself is both the subject and the objects. Upanishads claim that this is true in our waking state also. For each one of us, the material nature appears in our consciousness and is not separate from that. That is, if there is something outside of your consciousness, then you cannot experience it. It cannot become an experience for you. Hence, there is no separate reality other than consciousness. That one and only consciousness is Purushottama. It not only illuminates the world, it gives existence to the world that each one of us experience. Like the whole dream is in the dreamer's mind, the whole world is in Lord Narayana's mind. He himself is the waker and the waking world, the dreamer and the dreaming world, the deep sleeper and the deep sleep world. Objection to this is that in the waking state, all of us see the same world. In the morning, we all have the experience of seeing the sun rising in the east, and in the evening, the same sun setting in the west. In other words, the world seen by everyone seems to be synchronized. If our experiences are all dreams, then how is everyone's dream the same? The answer is, in reality, there is only one consciousness in all. There is only one mind. The multiplicity is only apparent. The dream itself is used to explain this. Let us say you listened to this episode on Bhagavad Gita and went to sleep. Of course, I am not suggesting that this episode puts you into sleep. Hopefully not. After listening to this episode completely, you go to sleep. In your dream, there is a school drama going on, and in that, a Bhagavad Gita lecture is played out. You are an audience member of that lecture and you ask the question to the guru who is giving that lecture in the dream. You ask, how is this whole world a projection of consciousness? At that same instance, you wake up and realize that it was all a dream and it is your own projection of that guru, the audience of the lecture in the dream drama, the audience watching the drama. Everything was in your dream only. You realize that you and everyone in the dream are having the same experience, yet it is not real. Thus, our current waking state is no different from the dream, is the explanation given by Gaudapatha Adi Shankara's Paramaguru. In Advaita language, we have pure consciousness and reflected consciousness. At the cosmic level, pure consciousness reflecting in Maya is Ishvara, also known as God. At the individual level, the pure consciousness is getting reflected in the mind as reflected consciousness. Pure consciousness never changes, whereas reflected consciousness is changing. The reflected consciousness is the awareness we have about ourselves. The quality of reflection depends on the quality of the medium of reflection. As the quality of mind changes, the quality of the person, the awareness also changes. One sun can get reflected in many reflecting mediums. Every reflecting medium will produce a reflected consciousness. Mind is a reflecting medium. It is not an illuminating body. This reflected consciousness is always attached to the mind, the reflecting medium, whereas the pure consciousness does not. If we go and stand in front of a mirror, which one do you call real? Your own self or the reflection? In the same way, the reflected consciousness in the mind is false because it has no existence without pure consciousness. All activities are made possible by this reflected consciousness in the mind. Walking, talking, eating, going, coming, sleeping, are all associated with the reflected consciousness in the mind, and we associate ourselves to this reflected consciousness and call it I. Most of us take the reflected consciousness as pure consciousness, whereas our real self, the capital I, is pure consciousness. It is akarta and abhokta. Pain and suffering are for the reflected consciousness, whereas pure consciousness is permanent bliss. As long as we associate ourselves to the reflected consciousness, we are in samsara and feeling the pain. Changing the perception removes all sufferings. In this environment, Purusha is nothing but pure consciousness along with reflected consciousness. When you associate yourself with the reflected consciousness, then you are Jivatma. When you cut that reflection, disassociate yourself from that reflection, then you are God. Please note that reflected consciousness existence is based on pure consciousness and not the other way. We can exist without a mirror, but my image in the mirror cannot exist without me standing in front of it. We have mixed up the pure and reflected consciousness, whereas realized masters are clear about what is pure consciousness and what is reflected consciousness. The universe evolved from consciousness, exists in consciousness, and dissolves into consciousness. Coming back to the dream analogy, the universe is the dream and Brahman is the dreamer, says Upanishads. The entire dream is created in you, sustained by you, and dissolves in you. What happens in your dream has no effect in your waking state. Say you are involved in an accident and die in your dream, but you are still alive when you wake up. You may be a very poor person in real life, but in your dreams you may be Karna, giving away all riches as charity. But there is a connection of the dream to our real waking state. In both states, there is someone who is witnessing all this. Is there anything in that dream that happened without you not being aware of it? You may forget and not remember all the details after you wake up, but while the dream is going on in full swing, you are a witness to everything in that dream. The dream itself was there to begin with because you are witnessing it. Same is the connection of Brahman and the universe. Brahman is not an active participant, but just a witness. It is the act of witnessing that has created the universe. In your dream, you are seeing your daughter walking on a podium and receiving an award. How did your daughter have that experience in your dream? It is because the experience of every other person in your dream is your own experience. Does it mean that my consciousness has been given as a loan to all those who appear in my dream? No. There is only one undivided consciousness that is experiencing the dream world through all people in the dream. Even though you are dreaming, everyone in the dream need not know you. All the people in the dream are living in their own world. You are the one consciousness that is giving consciousness to all people in the dream. You are the dreamer, and yet you yourself are not aware of it until you wake up. There is no separate you and the people in your dream. They are all one and the same. You have divided yourself as other people and also remain observing everyone. You, the consciousness, is appearing as consciousness in all other people in your dream. In conclusion, there is only one consciousness, and that is you. Aham Brahmasmi means I am that Brahman, and that Brahman is called Purushottama. Even though all these examples make the truth clear, there is still a nagging doubt. Who is this I that is projecting the world within us? Instead of seeing this I as body and mind, look at this I as one consciousness that is projecting all of us. Even though we may say that our consciousness is different, in fact, the world is appearing in the same consciousness. So, the outside world is the same. The consciousness is the same. But it is our mind that adds salt and pepper to that before it digests it. To that, add the defects of the senses. The experiences of the same world become different for each one of us. Appreciation 2. Upanishad consciousness and modern science. In the West, philosophy is separated from spirituality. In Indic civilization, they are not divorced. If perception, that is what is observed, is subjective than what is real. Perceptions give some idea to make transactions in the transactional world, but perception is not everything. That is why Indian philosophy talks about the three pramanas: perception, inference, and authoritative text, meaning Upanishads. This was mentioned in episode 57. Upanishads are very categorical that consciousness exists by itself and it is the cause of all causes and the physical world depends on it. There is no objective reality that exists independent of that observer. The observer and the observed are one and the same. That is Brahman and that is Purushottama. Individuals are not the same at the body-mind level. The body-mind is only Prakriti and its nature is multiplicity, to be different. That is clearly understood. From Sanatana Dharma point of view, we get an idea about pure consciousness also. But many scientists believe that consciousness is a byproduct of neurochemical processes occurring in our brain, and consciousness cannot exist without those processes. In this theory, consciousness is a product, it is an effect. Modern science is also making progress in a different direction. Questions such as, is space-time the fundamental reality, are asked, and scientists are beginning to think whether space-time itself has to be revised. There are theories proposed that space-time itself is arising from a more fundamental abstract reality. This is an interesting development in modern science. If this is true, then all bets made so far in scientific casinos are off. No longer consciousness as a byproduct of physical processes or a highly sophisticated mathematical function in the brain will hold truth. Some Western scientists and philosophers are turning their attention to the idea of consciousness as the fundamental reality. The new theory is that the universe itself is emerging from consciousness. Does all this sound like Vedanta? Scientists all along were wondering why physical processes in the brain give rise to consciousness. Now, with the new thinking, though not yet in mainstream scientific circles, it becomes clear that consciousness gives rise to matter. Modern science is trying to unify the theory of consciousness with matter, which Upanishads already did. This is an emerging field in science, and it looks like science will finally meet Vedanta. That will be a date to celebrate. In the words of quantum physics, reality exists as waves and when observed is seen as particles. The double slit experiment proved that particles do not exist until they are observed. The very fact of observing the reality of a wave reduces it to a particle. This is the collapse of Schrödinger wave function. In the same way, until an observer appeared, the universe did not have a form. Therefore, consciousness, the observer, is the only real thing and everything else is illusion. This is called Maya. With this, chapter 15 comes to an end. Until next time, this is Ravi Ranganathan bidding goodbye. Bhagavad Gita. Yaha Pashyati Sapashyati.
Om.